Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Eugenics-based governments launch an investigation of their own armed Planned Parenthood to cover up all of the bloody death mills around the country where they're selling the baby parts and stuff. They just want to help them clean it up and learn how to conduct criminal operations a little bit better. That story's up on Infowars.com. Benghazi whistleblower lawyer, stolen Libyan missiles will be used to shoot down aircraft. That's a pretty big little news tidbit. You've been hearing us say that for 2 years now, but now it's mainstream news. Snowden, after 9/11, media abdicated its role as a check to power. That's exactly what Michael Hastings said that got him blown up. And speaking of Michael Hastings was investigating CIA Director John Brennan. So we've got that important report coming up. Also, Obama appoints Fox to investigate spying in the hen house. He's hired Clapper. How do you know when he's lying? When he's flapping his clapper, flapping his jaw over there. Clapper is the guy that told Congress that they do not collect any debt on Americans. And a day later, I admit it was a lie. And they all talk in that fake NPR voice. Hi, just bend over. This won't hurt. I'm putting this razor blade to your neck to help you. I'm slicing through your arteries to be friendly. Does that feel good? That warm blood dripping, spurting. Let me drink some of that. I love you. Newly discovered eighth grade exam from 1912 shows how dumbed down America's become. Another superb article by American Dream. We are Legion, anonymous presence in the U.S. military. They're systematically destroying our independence and making us all economic serfs. Very important article. That's some of what we're going to be getting to and the nightmares that are, oh, Slimacare. Oh, vomit. I'm trying to think of the proper name for Obama. Obama. Oh, vomit? He does vomit lies on people, but they're like baby birds. They go out and just go, vomit on me. And he just vomits poisonous lies on them. And they roll over, get little X's in their eyes. And then the mommy owl pets them and puts them, you know, in their little hole in the tree to rot. There'll be little baby skeletons in there. Should we give Obama the name O-Vomit? Because even though he's just a puppet, it's important to defile the puppet. That's why they tell you you're not allowed to have a rodeo clown of O-Vomit. I got to admit, I didn't coin O-Vomit. I saw it in the comments this morning. Are you guys partial to kind of like a crush on the term O-Vomit? The parrot press media? The parrot toots? I don't know what you, it's like a, what do you call a flock of prostitute press people? The parrot toots. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just out of control here today. Unsealed court settlement documents reveal banks stole trillions worth of houses. Oh my gosh, that's now mainstream news. We'll be getting to that. You mean there's foreign banks that steal trillions? Everyone I know has their phone companies, their power companies, whether it's city or private. Every credit card company, everyone. This happens to us now. And we have debit cards and it happens. Even though I try to use cash most of the time. They all just, you have an unlimited minutes contract, unlimited data contract with AT&T. They don't care. They just go, oh, here's a $500 bill, bud. Ain't like that. And my parents are smart folks, but they're even less tech savvy than I am. And they're like, it's strange. Target won't send me a statement for a year, and they just keep all these weird charges, so I don't use the card, and I tell them to cancel it, and they won't. I go, you got to send them registered mail, and you got to have to sue them. Even Clark Howard will tell you that. My parents are like, you mean? I go, yeah. You're in a database as people to rip off. Not. You know, my parents. Hard to say my parents are old, but they're old now. But it's everybody. Paul Watson in England. He says no. Every company, everybody. He'll have unlimited. He'll have the contract. He has to sit there for hours. My crew, at their lunch break, sit there battling fake credit card bills because it's criminals. I mean, the government and the corporations are criminals.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
For joining us on this Tuesday, the 13th day of August, 2013, and we are joined for the balance of the hour by Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, who served 2 tours in Afghanistan and 1 in Iraq. A lot of really interesting stories you can tell to give you the perspective of a soldier, and a really likable guy like all the combat soldiers I've gotten to know. I don't think I've met any of them that weren't really nice, down-to-earth people, who also weren't naive because of what they've seen in country. It's like a lot of my family are veterans of combat and special operations type things, and they're just like, of course the government ships in the drugs. Of course big banks launder money. Of course all this is going on because they saw it. Going back to Vietnam, you name it. It's only the naive public that really doesn't know what's going on, but he's going to tell us some of those stories about the DEA and some of the shady stuff he saw that really primed him to know what was happening, and maybe even tell the story about how he joined the Army. He told us yesterday for Obama deception, too, but it was all very interesting. I thought we'd get him to talk some about it today. And then, because he's already been on 3 times about this, talk about Hastings, because right on time when he got to town, it broke on the local San Diego TV stations and in some newspapers that Michael Hastings was investigating CIA Director John Brennan And there's also other intel he's got from his sources, some of the other friends there with Michael Hastings when he died. It's a big deal when an award-winning journalist who says he's going into hiding and on the run, and less than 24 hours later his car blows up, and then we're told, move along, it's no big deal, nothing to see here. That is a big deal. So we're going to talk about that with Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs at the bottom of the hour. Buddy, it's good to have you here and meet you in person.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
What do you think of the InfoWars operation?
It's pretty neat. It's a lot bigger than I expected. It's pretty intense. It's everyone's pretty motivated and dedicated. I like it.
They're an incredible crew. And not every TV radio studio has 50 cals.
Yeah. I definitely got to hold on to two of those yesterday. That was pretty nice.
Next time you're down, we got to go out and do some shooting.
Oh, definitely.
I'll be done with Obama deception, and it'll be a little bit cooler. Not that you can't handle heat. Where was the hottest place you ever served?
Kuwait's definitely the hottest place. I didn't serve there, but you stopped through there. It is a toasty place. It goes from about 120 down to about 60 degrees at night, so that's a huge temperature change. It definitely shocks your system a bit.
I bet. Yesterday, I wasn't even really intending to get into this stuff with you for the film interview, but you started getting into how you started to really wake up. Tell folks some of the shady things, without getting anything, quote, classified, that you witnessed. I mean, you perfectly described it, how they'd have you as a diversion over here, and then meanwhile this would be going over here with the DEA, and how some of the Taliban and al-Qaeda you were saying was fake, but then some of it was real, that amazing story about the phone books in the walls with the list of who they were going to kill in the U.S. I mean, you've got the floor, Staff Sergeant Biggs. Break down your service, what you did, and some of the things you witnessed.
Well, when I joined with the intentions that most people or most guys did when they went in, you know, serve your country. You know, no one, you know, I at that point never thought that there was anything wrong with America. I was just gung-ho about it, and I was pretty blinded by, you know, this whole perfect nation that I thought we had.
And, repeat know, how you walked into the places and what you said.
Well, I woke up this one morning. I was like, you know, I'm going to go do it. So I go into the recruiter office. I said, I want Iraq. I want combat. And I want to go there as fast as possible. What can you do? And the recruiter looked at me and he goes, well, you just made my job a lot easier. I said, I just want to do this. I need to get it done. It's something I have to do. And next thing you know, I was a basic training and then off to Iraq just a few months later. So, yeah.
Let's get into the shadiness, then we'll get into some of the IED stories and stuff. But tell folks some of the first shady things you saw.
Well, definitely one of the missions, there are real terrorists out there. A lot of people think that, you know, that's kind of a fake thing, and they're not really out there. It's just us making that up. I went on a mission personally, and from what we were told, it was just an IED-making facility, which is an improvised explosive device. And what we found out when we got there was it was a lot more than that. I would go through with the metal scanners, and we weren't finding anything on the floor, so we started going up on the walls and started getting some reeds. So we started busting in through the walls, started finding shrapnel, passports, money, explosives, phone books, a New York City phone book with, you know, names circled in it, all kinds of stuff. I mean, these guys had the money.
And you said it was public figures and government.
Yeah. People. I mean, they had the means to do something. And luckily, we were able to find that and stop those people from that.
But specifically, the type of shrapnel, tell them what was in the phone books.
In the phone books, people you would hear on the news a lot. I mean, names like that, stuff like government officials, people like that were circled in there. The stuff, the types of materials they had were glass, like marbles. So if something did hit you, the shrapnel would go into your body. And if they scanned you, they couldn't find anything. So, you know, it was just a silent killer right there.
Yeah, because it's even hard, I guess, to get the metal out.
Yeah.
You've been a victim of that.
Yeah. Another one, we would get times where the DEA would come and stay with us and be embedded with us and go out on missions. And they would just be kind of, you know, we weren't allowed to talk to them until it was time to. When they did speak up, we would sometimes be asked to go down to opium fields and try to, you know, cut them down. Other times we were told to guard them, you know, and, you know, they would have us cutting down fields and then they would have us guarding ones. And that was just, I always thought that was kind of weird.
That's what I've been told by family that was in Colombia just a few years ago, that they have GPS grids where they spray the people that don't launder their money with the right banks. And of course, they had public meetings in Colombia back in 99 where they sent the Grasso, the head of the stock exchange, went down and met with the head of the FARC and said, you invest with us or we kill all your fields and invade. And then they didn't, so they kill their fields and then grow it and ship it in.
Yeah, there was always, you know, like I was saying, like there was this going on, what we thought we were doing, which is winning the hearts and minds. And then, you know, we had these, you know, operators that were doing something else on the backside. So we were this cover mission, and then these guys were kind of off in the back doing other things as well.
Was it mainly DEA? I mean, what would happen after you'd guarded? Because from what they've admitted, they would then process it and ship it out, and it was flown out.
Well, a lot of times we would capture the people there that ran that, and then they would take them back and interrogate them. Maybe shake them down. I mean, who knows? We weren't really allowed to get close enough to hear what they were saying, but all you could hear was screaming. You could definitely hear that.
So torture?
Yeah. It's something, after hearing that, something I never wanted to be a part of, I tell you that.
How were they torturing them? Waterboarding or pulling fingernails out?
I mean, like I said, I was outside the building. All I could hear was just that, you know, so that alone, just the screams from a person.
I was told DEA uses electricity and little crank deals.
Anything was possible at that point. I mean, the yells that I heard, I've heard people get shot, and I've never heard that yell before. I've heard people, you know, scream from being stabbed, and the yells I heard from a person, those were just ungodly.
And they were wanting to know, I guess, where the stashes were buried, too. That's worth a lot of money going in our daughter's arms here in the U.S. Yeah, I got to ship that in immediately. How often would they torture people?
It wasn't, like, real often, maybe every few months. It just, whatever kind of intel they would get, they would use us for covers to go run missions. And they would be like, oh, you know, we need to go over here, and we just have to let them go do their thing.
By the way, that's breaking news. So you would see DEA take farmers in and then torture them.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't call them farmers. You know, they would be like, these are Taliban people. And, you know, these guys would come in, and they were all bearded up guys, you know, wearing all black, you know, special tactical gear and all that stuff. And they would take them in there and interrogate them and do whatever.
Were they CIA? Were they Navy SEALs?
We were told DEA, and then the other term they used was OGA, other government, you know, other government agencies. So.
Sure, to be clear, but I can show clips of Fox, CNN going, here's the Marine Corps commander, he helps grow the opium. Yes, these are just farmers. So they would call one group farmers, and the other group they would call terrorists. It's,
yeah.
My point is that how long would the torturing go on for?
About an hour or so, and then they would tell us to take, you know, control over that person of interest, and then we would have to go take them to a main base, and then convoy them out there, turn them over to be detained, and then eventually they would get let go the next morning.
Oh, so it wasn't the long. I'm sure you read about, you know, you may have seen those special torture camps they had that are basically like hell houses. You hear about those?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see them bring kids into the hell houses?
No.
The Army report says they did.
Oh, it's possible. I mean, there was definitely a group of kids I would have liked to have seen going in there one time, because three kids marched a suicide bomber up to our gate, and the guy went off and almost killed quite a good bit of them.
Really?
Yeah, and those kids just took off. They act like, because we saw them sitting there walking with this guy up to the gate, and these kids were kids we'd seen the whole time we were there, so they seemed friendly kids. They walk up with this guy holding his hands, and they're all just like, oh, you know, we've known this guy forever. And next thing you know, the kids run off, the guy throws a grenade and pulls a full string and blows up, and all I could see was his scalp just floating down.
Wow. You know, the social engineers love war because it corrupts everybody.
Yeah. It's definitely it's not meant for everybody. It's a hard job to go over there, and, you know, like I said, you go over with these pure intentions, but at the end of the day, truly all you want to do is get home, and you just care about your buddies getting home, and it kind of, you know, you're not all this, you know, God bless America, this and that. You know, right now it's at this point where there's so many bad things going on that you see, you're just kind of sick of it, and all you can do is just look at your buddy and be like, man, I just hope you make it out of this.
You know, that is cultural mind control, though. You don't even have to put them in a CIA mind control base to make them blow themselves up. To blow yourself up to try to, you know, kill people, it shows a high level of control. The media always calls them cowards. But for me, that, I don't think that's cowardly. I don't like what they're doing, but I don't think it's cowardly.
No, it's not cowardly. I mean, it definitely takes some cojones to be able to strap a bomb to yourself and, you know, be able to say that goodbye. You know you're not going to see your family again. And to have this mindset that you're going to go to this better place and, you know, you're really doing this for this pure reason. You know, I don't think
Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, this is Powerful Radio. Stay there. I want to come back with more of your combat stories and the breaking news on Michael Hastings and the IED that I believe clearly took out his car in California a few months ago. I'm Alex Jones.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Thank you, listeners. You spoke, and we listened. At Chef5MM.com, we've made our checkout process more secure and user-friendly than ever before. Chef 5-Minute Meals, unlike anything you've ever seen. Self-heat in just 5 minutes. You don't need anything except what comes in the box. Visit Chef5MM.com to see this innovation for yourself. That's Chef5MM.com. Or call 888-959-6502. 888-959-6502.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones. Myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalist on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics dehumanization and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Well, Alex Jones here, back live. Sergeant Joe Biggs is here to get into what happened to his friend. It was embedded with him for several years, off and on, in Afghanistan. Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs is here with us. Briefly, in this short 6-minute segment, just because people need to get the perspective, I read about some people that have served 5, 6, 7, 8 tours. You served 3 and saw a lot of incredible action. What is the max you've heard of somebody serving combat tours?
Upwards of almost 2 years. I mean, yeah, that's a long time to be in the gutter with the blood, and a year. The Army has the longest deployments there is. I mean, the Marine Corps goes for a short amount of time.
No, but I mean, how many tours total?
Oh, I've heard of upwards of, in the Army, like I said, they're year-long deployments. So if,
how many year-long deployments?
8.
Yeah, that's the max I've heard of.
And that's just mind-blowing. But, I mean, that's over probably a span of, quite some time.
I was talking to an Air Force officer who's a pretty high-level officer over military police. And he said, look, all the services fight now when you're over in Afghanistan or Iraq. He said the convoys, all the rest of it. And he said he's basically the entire Iraq war been at one time or another in it. And all his buddies have been killed and stuff. It was just amazing to think about. I guess that convoy duty you've done is one of the worst things.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible. I mean, because the easiest way for the insurgents in Iraq to stop, the military from conducting missions was to cut off a fuel supply. So what we did was 4 or 5 Humvees, have a Humvee up front, 3 or 4 fuel tanker, a Humvee, 3 or 4 fuel tankers, so forth, so on. The whole convoy would spread about a mile, mile and a half long, sometimes 2 miles, just depending on how we kept our intervals. And they would just be setting up bombs, small arms attacks, just like AK-47 fire, which would be nothing. We just kind of laugh and drive through it. But a lot of times they'd hit that first vehicle, which was me. Then it would stop the convoy, RPG attack, gunfire, and all that. So it was every day was one of those kind of like puckered up deals where you're like, every inch of road you go across is going to be the last thing you ever see.
Tell that IED story.
Yeah, I was in Samarra, Iraq. We were just leaving Tikrit, and we were going south to Balad. And we were approaching the Samarra bypass. And right as we were coming over the hill, the sun's coming up. And you know how when you're at the airport and you see that haze over the runway, that weird look, you can see that the fuel coming up out of the pavement. And I remember seeing that, and it was this hazy.
Heat devils.
Yeah, and I was like, that looks like a boom. And then the vehicle just launched up in the air. You know, when you see explosions on movies, you see people in crashes, they slow it down. And I always thought, as a kid, that that's just what they did for some kind of effect. You know, that really happens. I remember just being there and, like, seeing a piece of paper flow by my face and kind of looking over and seeing my buddy, Sergeant Williams, sitting there and his head smashing against the wall. And then everything just kind of speeds up. And I guess your mind's trying to, process what's going on. You know, the vehicle hit the ground. All the tires were blown off. And the third Humvee saw my tires, which was the convoy commander. And after, like what I just said earlier, a Humvee, 3, fuel tankers, a Humvee, that's a good distance back. So, I mean, that explosion had some pack to it. And I was in a ASV, so it has a V bottom. So when it hit the ground, it did this and wobbled and then went over and then flipped. And fuel started coming out, fire. And next thing you know, actually the guy that I met last night, he was one of the guys that helped pull me out. All I could hear was banging on the armor. And eventually they pried open one of the doors and started pulling us out. Inside of my esophagus was burnt from breathing in those, the explosives and all that, the fumes. I just had a endoscopy done, and the inside of it just looks like someone took claws and ripped it through.
You were saying that's why you can't have white sheets.
Yeah.
Bleed everywhere.
Yeah, I still cough up blood. The back of my head still bleeds, and this was September 26, 2006. So... I mean, for that stuff.
Is that what got your foot with the shrapnel?
No, that was in Afghanistan. This was Iraq.
What happened to your foot?
Oh, just caught some stuff in a firefight in my right foot. It's one of those things. I guess I make it sound like it's nothing, but I mean.
But I've been seeing these news articles now where some of the guys will have like half their foot blown off. They're putting. They got guys with prosthesis out there now, right? Fighting?
Yeah. Hmm? I mean.
A lot of that's like old fashioned where guys got like peg legs out there fighting.
I mean, there's some motivated men out there. I mean, they don't want to give up. I mean, it's one of those things. It's your life, and that's what you want to do. You've done it for so long, too. It's kind of hard to, once you've been in, like me, I was in for a long time. Once you're in that long, it's hard to imagine not being there anymore.
Is it also a drug?
It feels like it, yeah. It's definitely a rush that nothing else in this world will ever give you.
Absolutely. You start talking about fighting. I see the hair standing up in the back of your neck. I can see it from here, huh?
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs. Long segment coming up. We're going to shift gears into his friend he was embedded with in Afghanistan, Michael Hastings. This is important information. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
In emergency preparedness, the day of is too late. The day of a tornado, hurricane, earthquake, or act of terrorism is too late to prepare. But what if today was different? What if you could do something smart and special to save lives the day of? My friends, today is that day. Just go to freezedryguy.com, the emergency preparedness experts with the world's finest freeze-dried food and dehydrated food. With a guaranteed shelf life of at least 25 years, it's food you can trust and enjoy when you need it most. Explore all you want. Order all you need to be ready at freezedryguy.com. Since 1970, Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for survival and outdoors food. But that's yesterday. Today is what counts. Go to freezedryguy.com today for the finest survival food your family needs. Or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Tomorrow may be too late.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
All right, Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs is here with us, and he's told some of this already, but since he's here with us in studio, for radio listeners and also TV viewers watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, I thought that we should walk through all of this again, what led up to Michael's car blowing up, the Rolling Stone Associate Editor. And the reason I made a big deal out of this is, in the past, the media would go look and see if this was foul play. Just out of hand. Instead, day one, they said, you don't say it can be foul play. That's a conspiracy theory. And then just more and more comes out. The car not speeding as fast as they said. The flash of light. Then it, clearly it, people going looking at the tree, including our reporters we sent to L.A. The tree not even really damaged. It came to rest up against it. The engine blown out the back way down the road, all of this stuff, and the fact that he sent an email saying basically, they're after me, I'm going to go into hiding, get ready for the feds. And some of Michael Hastings' other friends that have talked to Joe Biggs, and of course Joe got the email where he said he was basically going into hiding and had a big story he was about to break and get ready for the feds to come. Everybody else was too scared to even release that email. And let me tell you, folks, when it's not an inside job or foul play, they come out and say, we're doing an investigation for a couple weeks, and the car blew up, we don't know what did it. When it's suspicious, they go, no foul play, this is completely normal, happens all the time, nobody look at this, the feds weren't talking to him, he wasn't working on a big story, there's nothing happening here, just move along. When you see that type of behavior, ladies and gentlemen, that's when the red flags go up. And I've seen them kill a lot of journalists, Gary Webb, you name it, the Arkin sighting of people. This is a really serious issue, and persecution of press all over the world is a big deal. So Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, good friends with Michael Hastings, they kept in contact with each other in the years after they've been in combat together, said, I'm going to stand up for my friend. He went to the memorial on the East Coast, was there. She came up to him, and he really told the story in detail yesterday and specifically told him, I'm going to bring down whoever did this. And then to see her up there all glowing, oh, nothing happened, move along. I mean, folks, this is really getting serious. And if they can kill Michael Hastings and nobody investigates it, then they can kill Alex Jones. They can kill Ron Paul. They can kill Matt Drudge. They can kill Breitbart. Oh, I guess he's dead. They can kill whoever they want. And at a certain point, if more people start dying, I don't know what we're supposed to do, because, you know, I'm not looking to start a fight here, but I know it's a big shadowy government and things, but, you know, at a certain point, we just can't sit here while death squads run around killing whoever they want. Now, Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, you heard me just lay out some of the basics of what happened, but getting back into it, talking about remembering Michael Hastings and just repeating what you said about him in combat compared to all the other press you ever saw, and then how scared he was. In your own words, repeat what you said last night to the cameras on record here live on air for our own safety, because I want to get everything out you said last night here live on air, because I don't want to sit on this tape while we're putting it in the film, and then, you know, we both end up having our own little explosions.
Well, like I've said before, 2008, I find out that we're going to get another reporter in bed with us, and, you know, like me and the rest of the guys are kind of like rolling our eyes, like, oh, great, here we go again. Another, you know, reporter coming out here saying that they're going to be all hard and hard charging, and they're, you know, dedicated to working on their stories and doing all this. And to, you know, when he gets there, it was just a whole different persona of what I just had, you know, in my head from all the other guys. He jumps in there and he's just like, you know, what are you guys doing? What are you working on? You know, how could I help? You know, what's the best way to, you know, portray what's going on? You know. So we get out there, and we finally get on. He goes on a few missions with us, and he actually was involved in a pretty big one up on a mountaintop in Pakistan. And we came under attack, and, you know, like I said before with other reporters, they would just whimper down, and they would, you know, like, why did I do this? I want to go back home. I didn't sign up for this. You know, and Michael's just sitting there with this grin on his face, and I'm looking over at him, and I just remember kind of sitting there shooting my M4, and I'm looking over, and he's just looking up at me, smiling with the camera, and he's like, is this it? Is there more? You know, he just had that intensity, that passion about what he did.
And you described there's A-10s, helicopters, mortars going off around you.
Oh, yeah, there were A-10 Warthogs coming in. We had helicopters shooting Hellfire missiles. It was just complete and total chaos. Controlled chaos, I guess you could
call it. It was like a scene out of Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. It's one of those things that you kind of, you want to see when you get in the military, but then it happens and you're like, wow, this is not like the movies. This is so intense. Like, there's so many parts moving, you know, the guys on the ground calling in for the airstrikes, the artillery, the, you know, all this stuff, trying to get clearance from Washington. Can we use a C-130 Spectre gunship? You know, can we do this? And like, no, it's not important enough. All right. Well, there's like 300 of them and 30 of us. I think that's pretty important, but the A-10s took care of it for us. But, you know, Michael was just that guy. He didn't shriek back from the fear. He loved it. I mean, he was just a go-getter and adrenaline junkie and definitely right up my alley, my kind of guy.
I think there was more to this guy than meets the eye. I mean, he marries the head spokesperson, the PR flack, the psyops officer of the National Security Council. That's the top of the pyramid worldwide. Because you've got globalist interest and banksters that own things, but the United States National Security Council is telling NATO what to do. It's telling the UN what to do. It's making all the decisions. I mean, that's the top of the pyramid. The Eye of Sauron, that's right in the middle of it. He marries her 2 years ago.
Yeah. Love, I guess. Love will do crazy things to you. It definitely, it's definitely not one of those, you know, a matchup you would think, but, you know, whatever.
Amazing. I mean, repeat what you said yesterday about leading up to this, talking to her, and then when you're in that restaurant, your buddy goes, look up, she's on CNN. And I mean, just your whole take on that.
Yeah, you know, from the get-go of how he was in Afghanistan, courageous, you know, brave, strong kind of guy. You know, all he did was speak the truth, and he didn't let anybody hinder, you know, that. He didn't let anybody kind of like persuade him to change his stories, his words. He spoke the truth, and that's just how he was. So I get the, you know, I get this email, and that email, you know, he sounds so scared. And it just didn't sound like the Michael that, you know, myself or anyone else knew.
You said you talked to his other friends who physically talked to him. He was looking, I'm going to repeat all that. The feds had come to the house, looking under the car. You said he was scared.
Yeah, he had LAPD and then some other people had come by the house, could have been feds. Like I said, at that point, there was a lot of weird things happening in the days leading up. He, you know, he was seen looking under his car with his brother. His other buddy, a mutual friend of Mike and I's, said that 5 days out, he started speaking in code. He was just panicked and on alert, you know, just seemed like he was constantly looking over his shoulders left and right. And I knew he was like that in a sense because what happened with the McChrystal story. You know, he'd called me a few times and I'd spoke to him and he's like, you know, I'm kind of scared.
Well, you told me, people were telling him, we're going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, he even wrote that in one of his books. I mean, he pretty much came out and said that they said that. So, I mean, he definitely...
So the biggest killers in the world say we're going to kill you. Your car blows up and it's not suspicious.
I mean, everyone just wants to crack up to be some accident. I guess it's easier to sweep this away and sweep it under the rug than to actually dig in there and ask the questions. And a lot of people out there just don't want to get into it. But, you know, it's not going to stop me and some other people I know that are still curious and still have all these unanswered questions, and we want to find out what's going on.
But like you said, Mike would do it for you.
Oh, of course. Mike would do it for anybody. I mean, that was just the kind of guy he did. Anything, any kind of, you know, unjust act that happened, and he didn't feel right about it, he'd get that gut feeling. I mean, he's going to look into it. I mean, he was going to find out what was going to happen. I can't just not, you know, I didn't choose for the email to come to me. I would have saw that and... been like, you know, what's going on, and definitely still been curious about the whole thing. But it came to me, and I didn't ask for it to happen. But I got this feeling I had to do something. But before I even released the email, I started contacting the other people that were on there, and I'm asking them, hey, don't you think this is weird that we got this email, and now he's dead? Like, are you guys at BuzzFeed going to do anything about this? And then the response I got was, you know about this? ? And then that was it. And I kept emailing them back, so what are we going to do? Nothing. So I started asking around, you know, I asked my mom for some advice. I was like, you know, should I say something? And my mom's like, ah, don't say anything. She's like, that's some scary stuff. I thought about it for a while, and I was just kind of like, you know, my gut tells me I've got to say something. So I started contacting different people, and, you know, KTLA was the one who responded. So I forwarded them that email, and... now, you know, most people aren't thinking this is an accident anymore. They're kind of getting that feeling that I had from the get-go.
That's right. You brought the fact that he was going into hiding, that the feds were coming after him. They didn't want that in the equation. They wanted everybody to be scared. Yeah. But one guy stood up, and now more and more is coming out. Get into, I mean, repeat what you said yesterday when we were taping in there for the film about, you know, what she told you at the funeral then versus what you saw on CNN and what you think might be going on there.
Yeah, I went up to Vermont with a mutual friend of Mike and I's and stayed with him. And we went to the memorial service and we get there and I kind of do a walkthrough, you know, shake his father's hand, his mother, his brothers, and sit down. And it's just kind of one of those sad, you know. It was just it was nice to see that many people who cared about him show up, but it was just kind of a sad, just overall crazy.
Solemn.
Yeah. So I walked, I was like, hey, you know, I got to get out of here for a second, get a water. So I'm walking out, and as I walked around, Elise came around, Michael's wife, and said, Staff Sergeant Biggs. And I turned around, and she goes, come here. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, this could go one of two ways. This could be like, thanks for, you know, bringing this to light, or, you know, this isn't any of your business. Why did you release this? I mean, really, it could have gone either way.
Well, he sent you the email.
Yeah. So she actually comes up to me, and she's crying. She hugs me and says, thank you. She starts talking to me about how Mike had spoken about me many times. And, I mean, she knew more about me than I knew about her. I mean, she was just going from story to story from Afghanistan and the conversations we would have. And she knew everything about me, you know, and I was kind of put me more at a calm. And then, you know, after she wiped the tears away, you know, she got that pit bull look. And she told me, you know, we're going to find out. She's like, I'm going to find out who did this. And I'm, you know, I'm not going to like roll over on this. This isn't an accident. I will find out who did this. And that was pretty powerful for me.
She said this wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
And then fast forward a month later.
Yeah, well, then I tell her that I'm going to go to L.A. and do some investigating. I want to look around and find out what's going on. You know, I had a whole checklist of things I wanted to, you know, cover and go over.
And we have some potential suspects.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. I think she was threatened, but keep going.
So I send her that, and at first she's like, okay, that's fine. You know, she just seemed all, you know, dandy about it. It seemed like, yeah, whatever, you know, go do it. You know, that's your friend. You can find out whatever you want. You know, I'm going to do what I'm doing and investigate on my side, and you do what you want to do. And then the next day, I wake up, and I took a nap, and I had like 4 or 5 long texts.
That was right after you'd been on my show.
Yeah, 4 or 5 long texts, and, you know, like, don't go to L.A., don't do it, please don't go. And I text her back, it's like, why? And she's like, just don't do it. I don't want to get into it. Just don't do it. And then I called because I was like, you know, my heart started pounding. I'm like, all right, why the big change? And when I called, she didn't even answer. Someone else did, this lady, saying that it was her friend, you know, and I could kind of hear her off in the background. And they were just like, you know, Elise doesn't want you to go right now. Please don't do it. Cancel the whole trip. And so, I mean, you know, you hear a widow, you know, like that, and then the.
So you called me. I was just sent 2 reporters with you at least.
Yeah.
And a former NSA guy who investigates these things, and you said, "Let's wait 2 weeks." So we wait 2 weeks, and I didn't even know she was going to be on. I texted you at about 9 at night. I was putting my kids to bed. I texted you, "Hey, you know, how are you and her doing? You heard anything new?" And you go, "What are you talking about? She's on TV right now."
Yeah.
So let's fast forward. Where are you right then when I'm texting you?
I was actually having dinner with a buddy of mine, Spencer, and, you know, we were just actually kind of going over some stuff I was talking about. He was asking me, you know, what are some new leads in the story? You know, have I made any progress? And next thing you know, he kind of nudges me, and he's like, you're not going to like this, but look up. And I looked up at the TV, and, you know, Elise Jordan, you know, Piers Morgan, and I just kind of got this sour gut feeling. I was like, what, really? And then the interview goes on, and then she just seems happy. She's saying this is an accident, and my stomach hurt. I mean, I pretty much paid the bill, got up, and left. I just couldn't even stomach to be there, and not even until the next morning that I actually, after sleeping on it, did I even watch the video on YouTube. It was definitely a 180 change from how she was to this whole other.
Well, I think clearly she was threatened. I mean, that's the prime approximation. Or like you said, you know, maybe she wants them to think she's not investigating or something. But undoubtedly, a major reporter goes into hiding and is dead 24 hours later in a suspicious death with a car blowing up. I mean, this is. And now the police tapes have been released with witnesses saying, oh, it's driving down the road. It blows up and then goes off the road into a tree. That's what all the other witnesses said.
Yeah.
So it just keeps piling on. I want this to be a regular crash. I don't like knowing they could come do this to me at any moment. I mean, it's not like I want this to be a government murder. What are your sources saying he was working on?
Well, as we all know, like I said from the get-go, it was the CIA.
Now that's coming out, yeah.
Yeah, so people are starting to, you know, come out and say that. The other things as well were he was in direct contact with Barrett Brown, who was arrested in, what was that, 2011 in Dallas? 2012, somewhere right there. Because I know he's been in jail for about a year now. Michael was talking to him.
That was the CIA guy.
he was the guy that was working on Project PM who was doing a lot of computer hacking into the government that they were looking, they were doing mass spying on Americans. And he kind of uncovered a lot of that, and then they raided, the FBI raided his house and put him in jail.
So, but he was also talking to a former CIA guy who was in North Africa who they put in prison. He was talking to a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of things going on, but that Barrett Brown thing was a definitely key thing because he even got a copy of the warrant that had all the arresting people involved on there. So, I mean, that in itself, the McChrystal thing, this, looking into the CIA, all these things add up to, you know, there's a lot of people pissed off at him.
Well, they killed Aaron Swartz, too, undoubtedly, who was really giving them trouble. We're going to come back from break, and I want to talk about why he changed. Because you talked about this yesterday. You know, usually he was a lot nicer on TV. He wasn't as – in the weeks before, he's like, we got to get them. The government's evil. We got to get together. They're bad. They're coming after us. And he was like, I'm going to break something big. I mean, what was it? Think about this. What was it he'd learned that wasn't just, oh, they're spying on us or something? What had freaked him out? I think it was 9/11. I mean, my gut tells me he broke into the big stuff. And that's the big... I mean, I interviewed Barry Jennings, who was the deputy head of New York Emergency Management, on this show. And he said, no, they blew up Building 7. They had bombs in there, they told me. He was dead 2 weeks later. I mean, just dropped dead. And the family moved out a week later. It was like some witness protection deal. In fact, some say that he probably staged his death and put him under national security. We'll be right. I mean, I interview a lot of people end up dead.
You know about RVs. You've heard about bunkers. But surviving is not recreation. And man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com. Providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Dozens of diseases ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
Folks, we're going a little bit in the next hour with Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, and then in studio, we're going to have one of my favorite filmmakers, Dan Dix, who's down here working with us on Obama Deception. too, with one of his other members of Press for Truth. So I look forward to getting some updates from him just on trying to shoot B-roll around the country and the type of harassment he got from the police and people and the supposedly free nation. So that's coming up. Joe Biggs here with us, a good friend with the now deceased Billy Patriot for the First Amendment, Michael Hastings. Talk about, I mean, repeat what you said yesterday in your own words about the change you saw in him in the weeks leading up to his death, and now you said you've gone back and reviewed the videos. I mean, there was real concern there.
Yeah, you know, when this all happened, I was very suspicious of everything, so I kind of sat down and I was like, all right, I need to go over a checklist. I need to create how he was, what things are happening now, you know, what I know, and then try to start trying to put the pieces together, see if any of this leads up to anything at the time. You know, this is just, you know, the days after. So I got on YouTube and I was like, you know, I think I'm going to start looking at a lot of his recent or, you know, interviews from starting about a year back. And then I want to start seeing them up until I watched his last one that was on the Young Turks, I believe. And
we got to do something. They're coming for us.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, the first interviews I'm watching, he's very calm and, you know, Obama's great. We're doing all this good stuff, you know, yeah. And then, you know, towards the end, it's like, you know, they're trying to keep us from, you know, saying what we want to say. They're going to come after us, you know, if we speak the truth, you know, and his whole persona just shifted and he went from, you know, being this calm person to, like you said, apparently finding something out in that time frame leading up to his death to where he just felt like, you know, the press was under attack and he needed to be a hard charger. He needed to stand up and people needed to see that, you know, it's affecting everyone out there.
That's a normal response to tyranny, is to act like that. People go, oh, it's so strange. That's how you're supposed to act when your country's being overrun by crooks. What does your gut tell you he was discovering? I mean, we know it was CIA, it was government hacking, but I mean, is that enough to make him act like that?
I mean, he was working on many stories, multiple stories, as we said. I mean, any of that altogether. I mean, the stuff with Project PM is a big thing for me because all that hacking stuff that Barrett Brown was involved in was, you know, bringing to light that the government was mass spying on, you know, reporters and all these people.
So I think that probably is it, because he was like, they're persecuting the press, they're coming after us, we've got to stand up against them.
Yeah.
And so I think that probably was it from what he said on that last interview.
I mean, that's all it could be. I mean, to have that kind of job, to have that, his name's out there, he's a big person, you know, as far as, you know, worldwide known, you know, so to see that kind of stuff, to see that our government's going to try to, you know, hush everyone, that definitely, you know, is going to upset you. And, I mean, that's definitely what happened.
We're going to go to break and come back and have 5 more minutes. It's been great having you here in town. We'll finish up discussing that. But I'm not calling the Young Turks out, because that's not what I do. I mean, I'll call people out for what they say that's wrong. But they said they were such good buddies with him. They've gone with the official story. Like, all these so-called liberals that were friends with this guy have just gone with the official story. And that's some great friends they have there, let me tell you.
Some of those guys that work there, though, even reached out to me, and they're the ones that helped me confirm that Mike had to have the cops come there, you know, that people had visited him.
Okay, well, then maybe I missed it. Have they done shows on that?
No, they haven't said anything. They've just told me in emails. You know, that's what they have said back.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
So they're out there in L.A. They know about all this, and then they're not doing anything about it. See, that shows they're not just dumb liberals. They're scared. And if everybody gets scared of the tyrants, they're going to take over. Don't people get that only free people that have courage will be free? If you're scared of tyrants, they'll take over. Unbelievable. That just blew me away. Wow. We'll be right back with the final segment with Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones. Myself, my family, the InfoWars.com team want to relay to you and your families that we are intensifying our efforts against the globalist on every front. InfoWars.com is leading the fight against the technocrats. But we can't do that without your help. By getting the films, bumper stickers, and t-shirts at InfoWars.com, you will wake up people in your area and support our operation as we move to the next level. Bible. We need your help to spread the word like never before. They wish to hide themselves during this tectonic battle between the forces of freedom and darkness. You are the response to the globalist technocrats and their program of global eugenics dehumanization and ultimate extermination. The war is here. It's an info war. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984.